in the market in big time at the moment for Jeremy Cameron, and he's struggling with making a decision. But he's a loyal bloke, and it's being shown and demonstrated by him. We're trying big time for that one.
That's Brian Cook. He's the CEO of the Cats, and that was on 6PR in the last couple of days, signalling their intent big time, he said, in Jeremy Cameron. It was a fascinating comment from the chief there from the Cats, and just puts everyone out there in the footy world on notice that we are coming for one of the biggest fish on offer, perhaps, in the AFL trade period. Glenn McFarlane's from the Herald Sun. He's one of our favourites. He's got a lot of winning photos of horses on the walls in the study at home. He's going magnificently. Mackie, good morning.
Yeah, g'day Half, g'day Whitey. I love what the Cats did yesterday. Put it out there, and we know what they do. I wish more clubs were more transparent like the Cats are.
It was pretty bold, wasn't it? We don't often hear that for a player who's obviously in the market. We signal our interest, and we like to have a conversation, that sort of stuff, but we are in the market big time, is what Brian Cook said. We don't often hear that bold declaration.
Yeah, well,
no, we don't, and I think that's a way of the future, I think, and hopefully we do, Whitey.
Yeah, sorry, I was a bit of a delay there for a moment. I was just going to say, Macca, with that he wouldn't be saying that if he didn't think that they were a massive chance, obviously.
Yeah.
But there are a number of other clubs that have wanted to speak to Jeremy Cameron or his management and just have had no success. And the indication is it's either he's staying at the Giants or he's going to Geelong. You're wasting your time even thinking that it's possible. So as much as there are a number of other big-name clubs that would like to at least speak to Jeremy Cameron, and you know, the obvious ones are Essendon and Collingwood that want a key forward, I think that at least at this stage, they don't think there are any chance because they can't even get a conversation of any note.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there, no doubt. And Jeremy Cameron is torn by the decision. We can feel that already. He's got a loyalty to the Giants. You know, he's got that potential 4 or 5 year deal for $750,000 a year. The sticking point being that he lost 500,000 boys this year, 500,000 because of that back-ended deal. So you can understand him trying to chase that little bit extra money there as well. The other factor is Geelong and the lifestyle, the potential lifestyle that he can live in Geelong. He really likes that element of that. So he is genuinely torn. What is fascinating, boys, that Jay Clark reporting this morning that the Giants are actually pushing for the AFL to reintroduce that controversial COLA, cost of living allowance, to help keep the Giants players and staff together. I reckon that's amazing. It's been gone since Lance Franklin 6 years ago. So I think you're right with the sense that Jeremy Cameron is torn. We'll hopefully get a decision soon, but you're right. From my perspective, it looks like there's only two clubs.
Yeah, you're right about, I reckon you're right, Whitey, about Brian Cook's statement. You're in it up to your eyeballs if you're saying that, if you're the Cats. Particularly with a final campaign still going. Like, there's a lot happening at the footy club at the moment. And to come out and say that so emphatically suggests you're absolutely in it up to your eyeballs.
Yeah. And I think the other interesting thing, Macca, on that is that when you look at if it is that Cameron was to go to Geelong and Joe Danaher to Brisbane, two teams that are still involved in the final series are central to two of the biggest potential moves there is. Again, I just don't think Brian Cook would be saying such a thing if they weren't confident, because it would be seen as a distraction, surely.
Yeah, and you know what I love about Geelong is that they don't see anything as a distraction, that they're mature enough as a football club, and I agree with you in the sense that they wouldn't be saying it unless they're keen, but they are such a mature footy club. I just wish some other football clubs out there, and there's a lot of them, would wake up to themselves and start treating this as, you know, as part of a mature conversation, like we see overseas and the like. We don't see that here. And I think hopefully this is a tipping point and we can get to that level. I love what the Cats do. I love that they're in for so many different players, and I think it's fantastic what they're a part of at the moment.
And that's why they've been successful in list management for a long time, because the way they do business is a lot more transparent and a lot more almost collaborative with other clubs to get things done. They don't muck around. Hey, with Collingwood, Macca, I'm really interested in how they're going to keep everybody. Like, because the commentary now for a couple of years has been that they're really tight with the cap and they're going to struggle to be able to do too much. They're going to struggle to be able to keep everybody, let alone bring anybody else in. How do they do it? Or is it just not possible?
I don't think it's possible to keep everyone. We know that that's the case, and that's why they have basically told Tom Phillips that he can potentially look at other options, that they're open to him, even though he's contracted till the end of 2021. What they will do, guys, and it will happen very, very soon, is that Dane Beam settlement will happen very soon. We know that Dane Beams is still effectively under contract to Collingwood. He's retired from football. So that's going to help them out from a salary cap perspective without any doubt as well. Keeping everyone's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. We saw yesterday that they delisted Tim Broomhead and also Matt Schoenberg. So sad for both of those guys who've had huge injury issues over the journey. I'm not sure how the Pies can bring too many other people in if they do re-sign Jordan Ngoi, as we believe they will at this particular stage. So Nathan Buckley at his exit press conference was basically saying the Pies are out there and are going to be aggressive in the trade period. They want a forward. Can they get one for the price? And that's where it comes back to Adam Treloar. We spoke on Tuesday about Adam Treloar, and Steve-O's been very strong on this. Can the Pies do, as much as Adam Treloar says that he wants to stay a Magpie, he wants to be a part of the next premiership that is at Collingwood, but can the Magpies orchestrate something that becomes like a salary drop in the sense that they can get him to Gold Coast, get a pick five, and save a hell of a lot in terms of salary cap money? That's something we've got to keep an eye on over the coming weeks.
That is a good point, Macca. That is a very good point. And that, just thinking about that Dane Beams deal that Magpies made, it's been a heavy burden for them, hasn't it? Not only from a draft perspective, but also from a salary perspective. And no one was to forecast what was to happen, of course. And so they've been a bit stiff. But it is a big anchor for them, isn't it, in terms of list management, because it does make a lot of things very difficult for the spot in the list, and let alone the fact you've got to pay big dollars and what you paid for Dane Beams.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been a real millstone around Collingwood's neck, in the sense that Dane hasn't been able to play, and obviously for various reasons, and reasons that we know, that he's had some mental health issues in that sense. And pleased to report that he's actually in pretty good shape at the moment, and you'll read more about that hopefully soon in the Herald Sun, but he's going okay, and that sort of deal, to be able to finalise that, will be both good for Collingwood, but it'll also be good for Dane Beams, I think, as well.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Isaac Smith is a good friend of ours.
Yes.
On the Breakfast Club. Where do you think he'll end up?
I hope personally that he stays with Hawthorn. He's got the 2-year offer on the table at the moment. He's agonising. He's on having a bit of a break, a well-earned break at the moment. He's been pretty open and honest with you guys all the way through. It's a really difficult season for him. There's an offer from Melbourne. We're not sure that it's the 3 years. I think his management would like the 3 years there to give them that extra certainty of a year. I personally hope he's got to work out. I think, boys, he can play for 3 more years. He turns 32, I think, in December. He's that sort of player. If he can get his body going, he didn't have the greatest of seasons, but fingers crossed he can get that body right, and I'm sure he can, and I hope he stays with the Hawks. I don't like premiership players leaving, guys.
2 years at the Hawks after 30, it's a good effort to do that. They don't often do that, the Hawks. So the fact that he's got a second year...
Might be a bit of a carrot for a third year too, if he was to play very well, Daniel.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Melbourne's not the only club into Isaac Smith. There's a number of clubs that are into Isaac Smith, and I think that's what is making it really difficult. It's not just one or the other. And I think the reality for Isaac is it's more about where Hawthorn's at. I think Hawthorn's being missed in a lot of the commentary around trades and where they're at and all that sort of stuff. There's been so much focus on Essendon. Where's Hawthorn at? What direction are they heading? And I think they're questions that Isaac probably wants to know from Hawthorn as much as anything at the moment.
Is the third fish on offer for the Blues?
The third fish in the sense that, the Blues, I think the funny thing about this week, boys, is it was great to see the $1 pop salute in Caulfield Cup week, wasn't it? In the sense that Essendon was always going to ask for the world for Adam Saad, and that was going to happen regardless. No question they were going to ask for the world and basically get an Atlas. Long way long way to go with this. And I just hope, we're talking about mature footy clubs, I just hope that Essendon works out a deal with Blues early in the start of this trade period. We know for a fact that that they were keen on some, you know, you throw up the ambit claim of Sam Walsh and Charlie Curnow and, you know, and Harry Mackay, but and then they throw up, obviously, the first pick and Tom De Koning, which, you know, which was never going to be an option. There's a lot of, you know, I think Tom De Koning's going nowhere at this particular stage, the way he finished the season. Just get it done, boys, don't you think? Like, this is one that's got to be... First pick, I reckon, is it's probably a little bit over for Adam Saad, but it just might be the thing that needs to get this thing done.
Yeah, well, that's what we spoke about yesterday, Macca, that it needs to be done early so that everything else can take shape and everyone can be aggressive with what they've got after that, particularly from a Bombers perspective, if they're able to get access to some quality picks through that journey with the Joe Danaher situation as well. So we'll see how it unfolds, and we'll be following it with you, Macca, from the Herald Sun. We can't wait for it. Thank you, buddy.
Good on you, guys. Thanks for having me.
And we're just being informed that Macca's got a little piece of Actow in the Caulfield Cup this weekend too. So good luck, Macca. All the best to you, Group 1 activity.
He's a Leviathan owner.
He is a Leviathan. $5 million, if you don't mind, for the Caulfield Cup. Macca's into it. Fantastic stuff. We'll get to a break.